He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair. Where the hell did you get your news from? Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama. He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
Woo! Technical difficulties. So, welcome to Smooth Drama on a Tuesday night. What's the date today?
Today would be the 26th.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. 26.
Yes. Yeah, so, the day after Memorial Day. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend. I did. I got worn out by my little niece.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Warm me out.
What'd you guys do?
Just little me stuff. Yeah. Very down to it. And nothing like that.
No rhyme or reason to her wearing you out? Or
little kids, they want to do everything and nothing. All at the same time.
Everything and nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you that are trying to watch us on Smooth Drama TV, we appear to be having some little bit of technical difficulties. So it looks like it's way delayed. But we have a special show for everyone this evening. We'll be talking to Willie Norwood, who's Brandy. And after that, we'll be talking to Marvin Davis of MD Media Group. And he is a singer, songwriter, producer. So before we actually give him a call. But right now, we're going to give Mr. a call. Talk about anything?
As we all know, you had a few things that have happened and during the week or whatnot. Cat fight.
Yeah.
Brazilian soccer player Ronaldo. It was during the game last Sunday, and a little dispute inside the arena.
Gosh.
And I guess Fahel grabbed his jersey, and the ref didn't see it, didn't call nothing, so he complained, and he grabbed his hair, and he pinched him.
Nice.
Yeah. So, just so we can dispute that only women get in a cat fight.
Okay, I think we're good. Can you hear us?
We good?
We are good.
All right.
All right. Norbert, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Mr. Dick Hugger.
How you doing, sir?
Hello. What's your last name?
Hugger.
Hugger?
Hugger.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, every time I say his name, I just think it's hilarious.
I'm being political.
Yes. It's a different name, and as you know, my name on the show is Butter Pecan, and
Butter Pecan.
Yes, Butter Pecan. We are, and for all of those who are listening out there and watching us, we are speaking with Mr. Willie. What's your name? You are, and what you do?
A voice coach and minister of music. I'm also an artist.
Oh.
That's what I do.
What type of artist are you?
And also I'm a producer.
Nice. What music do you do?
I do gospel music, R&B music. I teach all styles. And music, and I have exposure to all kinds of music, but my preferred, I have two gospel projects, and so Love is our gospel music.
So who are the people that you've worked with?
Pardon me, I didn't get that.
I said, who are some of the people that you've worked with, sir?
Some of the people that I've worked with? On what front? I mean, like producing, artistry, something like that.
And voice coaching.
Well, I voice coach. First of all, I was fortunate to be a voice coach when my children were born. So I've always taught and been vocal coach to my son and my daughter. My daughter first, Brandy, and my son Ray J. They were in my children's choir. I've always was a choir master. I always taught choirs and talk voice and vocals. The choir that I was that I have currently is a children's choir of about 94 voices. The choir is called UCC. It's a community choir. To the early 20s.
Okay. So
and some people that I've worked on a couple of his projects. I've worked with Janet Jackson with my choir on their projects. I put together a children's choir for that, and also for on the song The Velvet Rope song. Everywhere you hear a children's choir is my choir.
So,
and those are the people that I've worked with. A lot of people from Ray Charles to Babyface, most of the Foster, a lot of the young dudes. Just about everybody in the business I've had some kind of contact with, exactly through the careers of my two children.
All right, well, Mr. Norwood, I want to talk about your early career back in the day that Jackson's verse to that complex. What made you do that? Was that something that you always wanted to do?
I've been in music with it. I was playing music at 14 years old. I didn't do much vocals, but I was always in marching band, and I was in my college marching band. I formed my own band in at Jackson State, and we traveled all over the United States. And probably one of the most best thing ever happened to me was when we came to Los Angeles, and when we came to our place. And at the time, you know, it still is. It's the entertainment capital of the world.
Right.
You know, however, now, you know, it's kind of like that in Atlanta. And I formed my own band and stuff like that. We did mostly covers. But we were very, very good and got a lot. Everywhere we went, we drew a lot, big crowds, and we always got very good press everywhere we went.
Well, I see you said in 2000 you released your first gospel album, About It.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did, I want to say, what is your motivation to do music? What brings you joy in doing the music? You know, what inspires you, I want to ask?
Well, you know, I think that what inspires me about music is that I don't find it, it's just my way, it's what I love to do, it's my passion, it's my love. I would do it for my greatest joy. And for some reason, it's the conduit by which I get all most of my blessings. Usually because I give it away, basically. You know, I'm very free with my gift. And just look at me. You guys, that my talent and whatever I got came from God. And by knowing that it came from God, then I can share it. Because I give what I give from my heart, and it's what I love doing. And so
wow.
Welcome back, people. Sorry.
We're having some technical difficulties tonight. We're going to try and dial Mr. Norwood in again. Wow. Goodness gracious. Not having a good evening. Oh, goodness gracious.
Too much.
No, sorry, you're doing just fine.
No, you're doing really bad. We
it's on radio. You're supposed to talk.
We'd be worried if you didn't talk. So we're very glad that we have you on the show this evening. Now, at what age did you start?
Thank you.
You're welcome. What age did you start training Brandy and Ray J to sing?
Brandy sang her first solo in church at 3 years old.
Ooh, good.
She sang Jesus Loved Me. It was just the most, she was just designed to do what she was doing. She had no, she sang with expression, and she sang as if she was supposed to be on stage somewhere.
Problems
and,
go away, and I actually stayed in all.
Excuse me?
She was six, or three, excuse me.
She was 3 years old.
Three. Wow. I know, at 3 years old, I couldn't do it.
And, you know, Ray J always would just, he was the one that was the phenomenon, and it came so easy to him until he just picked it up, you know, and we would always sing We would sing in the car. We'd make up songs, and singing was always part of what we do. We sing around the house, and even now when they come over to the house, we always sing. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. You know, I really appreciate them because they.
I'm having some technical difficulties here.
You talking to her? She doesn't know what
that. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. So, I want to ask you this question. Do you actually watch your son's show? I Love Ray J.
Well, for the love of Ray J.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I go over his house and watch it. He tells me what's going to be on there before I watch it. You know, he tells me what's going to go down before I watch it. But one thing he told me, and I really appreciate him for, he told me, he said, Dad, he said, for the first time, I have my own show. He said, all the while, he said, he's been doing television and stuff since he was, he's been in the business since he was 8 years old. He said, for the first time, I'm nobody's sidekick. I'm not no guest star. I'm not no co-host. He said, this is my show. And he said, he was so proud of that. And I was proud of him for that too. And so, sometimes I watch it with him. Yeah, I got a chance to meet all the girls.
Oh.
And they all were sweet. You know, they were sweet girls, all of them.
The perks to being pops?
Huh?
I said the perks to being pops.
Yeah, I guess the perks of being pops. I guess so.
Now that they're grown and, you know, they have their own careers,
mm-hmm.
What do you do with most of your time?
Well, I work, I'm a voice teacher. I'm a voice coach. I have my own ministry. I have a music ministry. I work with choirs, and that's what I do. And I got a whole lot of clients, and I work on my own projects. That's what I do every day.
Okay, so I know you released two albums. Are you working on a third?
Yes. I'm always in studio working on albums. I got enough material already for another album. I just haven't put it out. I do that all the time. So it's just an ongoing process with me. It's just what I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Now,
but I want to get really active online like you guys are. One of my goals are to put my method. I still haven't put my method my vocal method online yet, you know. I still want to do that, but it changes so much, you know, because everybody that comes in my door that I teach voice, I talk where they are, and everybody's different, and everybody has different needs. It's kind of funny. It's kind of hard for me to put it in one method, but I'm working on it now.
Well, maybe you can teach us how to sing.
I think everybody can learn to sing. I tell people all the time, I say, you know, I can teach you to sing, but I can't give you talent. Talent is something that God gives. And everybody's not talented to sing, but everybody is designed to sing, you know. Everybody can sing. You know, it's just like even though a sparrow don't have, he can't sing like a blue jay, you know. A blue jay got a beautiful tone and everything like that. And every bird don't sound like a canary. Some birds just sound better than others. But all birds are designed to sing.
We are the kids.
I mean, just like when you hear the crow, you know, he don't have no pleasing voice at all.
Well, that would be us.
Yeah, you speak for yourself.
Category.
I've got range, but I don't have, you know.
I'm good in the shower. Get out a shower album.
Oh, the shower album. That would be awesome.
Singing in the bathroom.
Exactly.
There we go. We'll have to do an album like that.
Oh, right.
Well,
you know, but most of us can do more than what we think. You know, if you have the right, and that's one thing, the way I teach, I really try to encourage people to do better, because you do better if you encourage to do better. Is that, do you cook? Butter pecan, you cook?
No. I do the cooking. Butter pecan should never be in the kitchen, ever. Unless she's learning.
You know what? If you cook something and somebody tell you that was good, I really enjoyed it, you know, and they really mean it, and they do it, and they don't just do it just to be lying or nothing. They tell the truth, and they really love it, and they encourage you. Won't you cook again?
I would absolutely, because the problem is I wasn't encouraged, so I just stopped cooking altogether.
Yeah.
Well, nobody that encouraged you to eat your food.
Yeah, see, you know, if people would have encouraged me, I would have been a chef.
That's the way my wife is. You know, when she cooks, she wants you to just carry on about how good everything is. And if you don't, then she feels like, yeah, it wasn't good. I don't need to be cooking no more.
Yeah, I don't need to be cooking anymore. That's the way you don't tell me it's good.
See, Dick, that's the way you told us that, no, you don't need to be in the kitchen. That's where a lot of people about singing, they say, oh, you need to get on out the choir. You can't sing. And then they get discouraged, and then they come to me, and everybody told them they cannot sing, and then I have to go back and undo and unravel all of that discouragement that they felt all of their lives, because most of the people that's been told that, they love singing, and they'll start singing, and they be singing from their heart, and they just think they sound so good, and then somebody tell them and bust their bubble.
Now you haven't run across anybody that can't sing. You think everybody that you've come across can sing?
Everybody that I've come across, I find a way to make them sound better. Now, I'm not saying that I'm no miracle worker, you know, but the thing about it is when they do come, I have a way of bringing out some singing tones out of people. I can do that. You know, because I work with people. See, my background is that I work with singers. Most of the people that I work with, I mean, most of my experience has just been in vocal music. It's just with the voice, you know, not singing with mechanical instruments like pianos and organs and bands and stuff like that, but to really get at the voice, and then the way I approach it is that the person is an instrument. They are an instrument themselves.
Well, you're going to have to work with Mr. Hugger over here, you know.
Well, I think he's good in the shower. You know,
good in the shower, exactly. I got skills in the shower.
Well, that's good to know.
You know, Brother McCon and Mr. Hugger.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Now, I wanted to tell you guys that my CD, I have a collection of old Southern hymns done a cappella.
Mm.
And it's unbelievable.
Oh.
This record that I did, it's my last project. It's called I Believe.
Right.
And you can get it on CD Baby. Just go there and just put in Willie Norwood, CD Baby. .com/ Willie Norwood, and it will take you to my CD. Give it a listen to, and you know, I'm just saying this to your audience, that they can go there and they can really hear it and really really enjoy it, because a lot of thought and effort went into it.
And this is on CD Baby, this hymn sung a cappella.
I Believe
is the name of the song.
Everyone out there,
project.
go to cdbaby.com, look up Willie Norwood, and
cdbaby.com/Willie Norwood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was good to know. If we get any requests through our info email, we can definitely pass that along and have people go to CB Baby and give it a listen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I believe that they would really enjoy it.
Very nice.
Well, I would definitely put my mother on to it because she does listen to that genre.
Good. Well, what genre do you listen to?
I'm an old school soul guy. I'm hip hop, old school soul. I go, you know, your Donnie Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, you know.
You would love my other album. My other album. I have on that album the one Bout It.
Okay.
I have the fifth Beatle on there. Play with me on that album.
Okay.
I do a duet with my son and my daddy, who just passed away about a year ago. But he came on it, so three generations singing to him, and it's very, very well put together.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out. And I have Billy Preston playing on my album. Kirk Whalen is on my album also.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the William Brothers. Let's see, the William Brothers and Kirk Whalen, and it was done. The album was produced by Victor Caldwell and his brother Cedric.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So it's a very, very well put together. And because of that album, I got a chance to sing at the Crystal Cathedral. With Dr. Shula. And also I played, I did one of my songs at PTL, I think, Praise the Lord. I did one of my songs there and got a chance to sing at the Crystal Cathedral. I really, really enjoyed singing there because they had, I did this song called Put a Little Love in Your Heart. And they were, they heard it, and they had their orchestra to learn it, and then the orchestra learned it, and then they asked me to come and sing it at the Crystal Cathedral.
Very nice. The Crystal Cathedral is very nice.
It
there many years ago.
Yeah. You were there many years ago?
Well, it was a couple years ago. It's a beautiful place. Very peaceful.
Yeah, it's magnificent. With all that glass and everything, it's just beautiful. It definitely is.
So, you've done a lot of things. You're still active, very active.
Well, I've been very blessed, and still God is blessing me, you know, and I'm holding up. He's giving me my, you know, good health and strength. And I meet a lot of young people and stuff like that. And my little children's choir, they kind of keep me young and stuff like that. They kind of keep me up on everything. And I'm very computer literate and stuff like that. And I love computers. I love computing and I love computers. I'm very, you know, cutting edge like that, you know.
Well, we thank you for coming up, sir.
Thank you, guys.
We look forward to talking to you again and having you on, and maybe you can come on and sing some acapella for us sometime.
Well, that would be wonderful. I'd be happy to.
Great. I know how to get in touch with you. I have both numbers now, and I know through Mr. Whaley that we will be in touch.
Okay, then. Well, thank you, Bud Pecan.
Thank you, Mr. Norwood.
Well, you don't mind me calling you Bud Pecan, do you?
Not at all.
Okay, then. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys, and the time just went too fast, and I wish you a lot of success on your show.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for inviting me to come and talk.
Hey, but we're going to call you when you're in the shower. Be ready to perform.
I do pretty good outside the shower, too.
Have a good evening.
Okay, then. All
thank
right.
You.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very nice discussion with Mr. Willie Norwood. For those of you who did not hear that, are we still on?
Yes, we're still on.
Oh, okay. For those of you that didn't hear it, Mr. Norwood, you could find his CD on cdbaby.com/Willie Norwood.
Willie Norwood Sr.
And he sings hymns a cappella. So,
gospel.
Gospel. So we're going to try and call our next guest after our station identification break. So we'll be right back. Stay with us, and we'll be on the air with Mr. Marvin, go ahead and hit, Marvin Davis of MC. And we are back, and you're on the air with
Dick Hunter
and Butter Pecan. For those of you that do want to stay up to date on guests, you can text the word
Smooth Drama to the number 41411 on your mobile devices.
And you know, we'll send out updates. And we're still trying to give away these wearable shoe trees. So come on, people. Text us.
Look, do we have to send Butter Pecan to your house?
I know, shoot.
Because she will come.
I'll come, and I'll start throwing them at the in your front yard. And then what?
No,
I didn't say littering. Window. I said front yard.
That's
so
littering, man.
What?
That's littering.
I said front yard, dude. All
right.
Okay, we're gonna try and call Mr. Marvin Davis. If you're listening, don't ignore us now, because you know. I'll have to come to where you are and throw some wearable shoe trees at you.
Why you want to show? No, those things are actually very comfortable.
Oh, you put them in your shoes?
Yes, I put them in my shoes. They don't hurt your feet or anything. They're very.
We can
toast with the astronaut on the space shuttle Atlantis. You know
what toast? What
did
they do?
Well, they they're toast.
We're kind of late. We were supposed to call him about 9:20, so that's all right. So, anyway, we'll have to have Mr. Davis on the show again some, another time. But that was really interesting with Mr. Norwood. I didn't realize that he had done so much, and he's still doing a lot.
Hey, what you think? Just because he's old, you can't do stuff anymore?
I didn't
age
say he was old.
Man.
I never said he was old. He just
that's,
said he was
that's,
old.
That's the way you put it, old, that he's still active.
Did I say he was old? I just said he's still doing things. I didn't
that's
say anything
right
about
what's
his
wrong
age.
With him doing things?
I didn't know. I just stated, so I have to roll back the tape and say,
you know,
I did not know
today,
that he was still doing stuff.
Oh,
I never said anything about his age or how old he was or that he was too old to do anything. I was just stating the fact that I didn't know. It had nothing to do with you. But I did not know that he
like
was still trying to do stuff. So
why
because
you
act like
such
a man, saying, What, you think just because you see, you're the one that called him old. I didn't call him old.
I said that you made the
you
reference.
You just said.
Anyway.
I didn't make a reference to nothing like his age or anything, because he's still doing things.
Moving.
Yeah, well, whatever. What do you have? So you're talking about the recycling program in
NASA has. NASA has finished the urine recycling system.
That is disgusting.
And
what do they do with it? I mean, are they?
Well, basically, what it does is it takes. Six crew members will be aboard. They'll be able to make about 6 gallons of urine in about 6 hours.
Okay.
What? If, you know, people who think that, you know, recycled urine is distasteful, well, hey, what do you think you're drinking on Earth? This water has been used by billions of people. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
That is what happened.
That's what happened.
Now, I'm about the love movement. I'm about the love movement, but this here, this is like some sick love. You know, right now, you know how we in the days of eBay and whatnot. Well, these people, there's an auction going on for Marilyn Monroe's clothes and Elvis Presley's pill bottles.
What?
Yes. You know, Marilyn Monroe's
You're kidding.
Coffee table and Elvis Presley's prescription bottles are some of the items that are going on auction. Also, they'll be selling the clothing, autograph photos, and other Marilyn Monroe memorabilia, jewelry, and books, and the items that Elvis Presley's longtime physician, Dr. Nick, donated.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this. Anybody who wants to buy prescription bottles that somebody once held in their hands, I think you got some issues. I think you got more than issues.
You think?
You're crazy. Individual. There's not too much more you can say about that. You've lost your mind.
Yeah. Thank
you. I just wanted to make that statement because I saw that and I was like, no, I can't let that pass. What would you do with Marilyn Monroe's coffee table? You say, oh, her and Kennedy had sex on it? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's really stupid. Moving on. Talk about Specialist Zachary Boyd from the U.S. Army 1st Battalion 26th Infantry.
Where's the specialist from?
We're supporting the troops.
Okay.
In the middle of a firefight with Taliban insurgents, he was caught with his pants not on, and he was wearing pink boxers.
What? Well, maybe. Okay.
And flip-flops. And he's on camera. Yeah, I mean, they have him on camera in his smiley face.
Were they white at one time? Did it
they were his pink undies.
Oh. Well, yeah. Boxers. You can't call them undies. Well, they're boxers, right?
They're under his pants.
Hey, speaking of boxers, we haven't mentioned the online store lately. So y'all can go to Smooth Drama, click the online store.
SmoothDrama.com.
Go to the online store and check out them boxers we got.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the thong.
Oh, and that reminds me, I need to announce that soon Mr. Hugger will be straight down the streets of San Diego. As soon as we get the final paperwork and the final shipment, which I hopefully we should get tomorrow, we will have a sponsor of the show. And he had said, we have it on the air, we have it recorded, but Mr. Hugger said, if we find a whatchamacallit,
sponsor. But I say a six figure, so it's okay.
He said any type of sponsor. You know, he would go streaking through the
streaking.
You know, so
I've been working out too. I got muscle, so I'm working on my two pack. My two pack. I'm working on that, so when I'm out there running through the streets of San Diego, I'm gonna be buff and buff.
Buff and buff.
Buff and buff. I'll be in the buff.
Oh, he'll be in the buff. Okay.
See, you don't even catch me. Yeah. You don't catch me. See.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess coming to a street near you. And of course, as always, anybody who's willing to join me, hey, you want to run out in the streets naked with Dick Hugger, get us up at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You are very welcome to street with me, because I'm taking it to the street.
You are welcome to come out and streak with a Dick.
That's right. That's right.
Hugger.
We want to see. We can get some Russian columns done. We can get some T-shirts. I streak with Dick.
Oh my God, that is funny.
A man in Virginia. There's something in the water in Virginia. Where a man in Culpeper, Virginia has been sentenced to 30 days in jail for putting pee in his co-worker's coffee pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, James C. Butler, 49 years old, so you have no excuse, you're not 19. He peed into a workplace toilet, used a soda can to take said liquid.
Why would anybody do that?
And then placed the fluid in the victim's coffee pot.
Why? Why? Why?
A lab analysis confirmed that the liquid in the pot was indeed
pee.
Said liquid.
Pee?
Yep, and then he turned himself in to the police on March 23rd, after a warrant was issued for his arrest. He must also serve 1 year on probation and pay $50 in restitution for the incident.
He had to pay how much?
He had to pay $50.
That's it?
Restitution.
That's it.
A new coffee pot. He's on probation.
For a new coffee pot.
Yeah.
It's not like the coffee pot can't be rinsed out, but...
You know, I try to figure out what's wrong with people.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, y'all crazy.
I don't get it.
People, I mean, that's like remember that story about the guy who took the gum and he wiped himself all on the gum and put it back in the wrapper. I just wonder about some of y'all sometimes. Like, have you all lost your minds? Well, I know not everybody's doing it, but still, to pee in the coffee cup at work, I mean, I understand you don't like a coworker, just don't talk to their ass. You know? just disdain. What happened to disdain? I don't like you.
Some people just using a strange action.
It's an indictment on the American people. Because you don't really hear about this in other countries. I mean, you may hear
about
it. It's
not reported in other
countries. It's like this next story. It's the making game. You know how we always talk about Peter James?
Peter James, you suck.
Once again, for people who don't know who Peter James is, Peter James is an individual that sent us an email saying that
we won.
Remember, we was picked. We won
$30
million.
$30
million. Unfortunately, we have not been paid yet. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be walking around with this hairdo that I got.
All right.
I have
$30 million. So, anyway, he was based out of Nigeria. Jamaican gangs have been targeting Americans with the lottery schemes. I guess Americans sent more than $30 million to Jamaica last year to claim winnings in the Jamaican lottery. Unfortunately, there was no such Jamaican lottery.
Oh, my gosh.
So, people been scammed by the Jamaicans. I thought, Jamaica, you get some weed there and, maybe hook up with a drill lot if you're a female or whatnot.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I knew Jamaica for. And I guess now Jamaica is starting to become the new center for the international lottery scheme. And they're, it's connected with the gangs and whatnot. So they're putting that money into the drug and the gun trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the U.S. has organized a joint task force that's dedicated to breaking up these schemes. And I guess it starts with for example, there's a 72-year-old retired woman named Ann Moe who committed suicide in 2007 after reportedly losing $248,000 to a Jamaican lottery scheme.
How much?
$248,000.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
$248,000.
Yeah, they said the police chief Callender said his office is working with more than a dozen people each who have lost more than $500,000.
Unbelievable.
And I guess the scam is so good that the gangs in Jamaica are fighting over the phone lists from brokers in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing each other so they can keep the list pure and virgin.
You're kidding.
No. So, they're saying that in Montego Bay area, murders have risen from 139 in 2005 to 214 last year.
Mm-hmm.
All because everybody wants to get in on the scamming the elderly and other people who think that they're going to win this
lottery,
international lottery.
Unbelievable. People actually do that?
Yeah, they said there was a man who didn't want to be identified who lost $121,000, nearly all of the couple's savings, and that they're now getting by on his wife's Social Security benefits.
Wow.
Yeah.
These poor people. I don't...
Well, see, I hear the poor people part, but at the same time, I don't say poor people because we're talking about greed.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I mean, how much is enough where you're out here trying to get that money? And you, I mean, you know, the whole lottery thing is greed. And so now you're out here, and I'm like, after $2, I quit. You know, I mean, after $100.
$2, right. I quit.
Like $100?
$2.
Right. And then, I mean, the people, $248,000?
$2.
You got $248,000 to throw away? Man, I can tell you what to do with that money.
Yeah.
Better than this Jamaican. I can tell you that.
Better than Jamaican.
Yeah, I mean, you going to get robbed by Peter James and his homies?
Peter James. You fuck.
Yeah, I'm just saying, people. I mean, I thought that most folks would just not take these emails seriously. I mean, I think
Well, I have an example for you. I have an example for you. And you know about this. Someone
mm-hmm.
who thought that they could make a quick buck and ended up in jail for 3 days.
What?
I told you. Thinking that they could cash a check for somebody. Without asking questions, and ended up being, well, not being, it wasn't charged at the time, with forgery and robbery.
Well, party people, if somebody sends you a check from Nigeria, Jamaica, Canada, anybody you don't damn know.
Yeah.
They send you a check.
Don't.
It would probably not be a good idea not to cash it.
Do not cash it.
You know, just some common sense. And if you're dumb enough to cash it, do like those people in New Zealand and then run. The people in New Zealand, when they got that money.
Run. Just run.
Yeah, they just left the whole damn country.
Just run.
Interpol is looking for them.
That's
so if you're going to be smart enough to do something stupid like that, I say smart enough to do something stupid.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
smart
if you're
going
to be smart enough to do something stupid.
You don't have brains.
Yeah. Be quick and just leave.
Yeah.
Have your exit plan ready.
Run.
Yeah. Be gone with it.
Run.
That's all.
Run as fast as you can. You said do what they do there. Run.
Right.
That's
well, in New Zealand,
funny.
They just ran. That's what they did. They were smart. They were
yes,
like, this is illegal money. We're going to pick up and leave.
Yeah, did they? You don't even know if they ever found him.
No, it hasn't come out that they found him yet. So
they're on the run.
I guess they on the run. But
they gone.
When you millionaires, it's kind of easy to blend in.
To hide?
Yeah. Move to another country and pay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They're gone.
You know, you got money. You live.
They were gone before the bank realized it.
Right. Smart.
But, you know.
Not that we're advocating stealing.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, should I say that with more conviction? oh, no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right. Now, I got to say this real quick. and I'm probably going to be touching on this. You know, everybody, we celebrating. We got first black president, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they know that.
And something happened today that was very, very disconcerting. And I'm not talking about the Supreme Court ruling. I'm talking about a different Supreme Court ruling where they overturned a longstanding ruling that stopped police from initiating questions unless a defendant's lawyer was present. From here on, the police can interrogate you without your lawyer present.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the high court in the 5-4 ruling overturned the 1986 Michigan versus Jackson ruling.
And now how do you think that's going to affect anything?
Well, for one thing, you can coerce people without their attorneys. Like, you know how you say,
well,
I want my attorney? They don't have to listen to that no more. They can just keep going at you. They don't have to call an attorney or anything.
And you can keep saying, I want my attorney.
And it doesn't matter.
I want my attorney. I want my. You don't have to answer. You can just keep saying that.
Yeah, but let's say the police are holding you and they keep you in holding. And I mean, this is almost like this Gitmo, where they can just have your ass without any due process of the law or anything.
Yeah.
And you're stuck.
Stuck.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk some more about this because Obama's administration allowed this to pass. I'm sorry, but, you know, your rights here in America are supposed to be guaranteed here. We're supposed to have the right to due process.
Mm-hmm.
This eliminates a piece of the process.
Yeah, it does.
So your guiltiness is just due. It's your ass. So,
it's due.
Yeah, I don't know. We gonna have to discuss this a little bit further, people. Y'all be on the lookout for this. We're talking about everything, but these are your rights. And your rights are the most important thing here in the United States. At least I think it do.
Mm-hmm.
At least it should be.
Right.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pursue no happiness. Right. Anyway. That's our show.
And we'll end on that note for now. We thank you all for listening. We thank Mr. Norwood for being our guest. For those of you who want to stay up to date, text Smooth Drama to 41411 from your mobile device. We're still giving away those wearable shoe trees. And we will see you on
Thursday night,
9 o'clock. Same time, same place, hopefully without the technical difficulties.
I'm Dick Hugger for a bunch of time.
So, good night, everybody. Have a good evening.
Peace.
Bye.
He is the host with the